And in the studio with me is my friend Jacob Peters from New Mexico PIRG, Public Interest Research Group. And good morning, Jacob.
Good morning, Katie. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, I'm so happy you're here. And we all have some questions for you. First of all, what does a public interest research group do anyway?
Yeah, so New Mexico PIRG is a nonpartisan, nonprofit statewide consumer advocacy organization. So we work on issues ranging from public health to democracy. And of course, every year we release our Trouble in Toyland report to talk about toy safety and consumer protection.
And you're here to talk about your new Trouble in Toyland report. The official press release is on Tuesday. That is this coming Tuesday.
Correct.
So Jacob's telling me off mic that he can't really tell me the list of toys, but we're going to get that out of him as much as we can. Toys that are troublesome. What do you mean? Like, what is a troublesome toy?
Yeah, well, so the message today is pretty clear, is that we need to protect our youngest consumers from hazardous toys that are on shelves, and that parents and caregivers need to know what they're looking out for. And so the four biggest categories we look at in this year's report are choking hazards, which are the leading cause of recalls and injuries in small children, magnetic toys, which can be very dangerous, loud toys, toys that are excessively loud even if they don't violate CPSC rules, and then finally, toxic toys, which is one thing that's very new this year, and we're really working on very hard, is looking at things like lead and chemicals like phthalates in toys.
Wait, people are putting lead in kids' toys?
Yeah, absolutely. So there is now a legal limit. Lead, you know, is something that's been banned from paint since 1977, and gasoline for almost as long, but just recently we've seen limits on paints and coatings for toys. But the fact is, we went out to store shelves this year and found toys that have excessive amounts of lead in them.
Wait, you said there was the CP somebody who banned...
Yeah, so the CPSC is the Consumer Product Safety Commission.
Okay.
It was revamped in 2008.
Is that a federal government thing?
It is, yep. So it's a federal agency whose job it is to protect consumers from hazards in toys and other products.
And so how is it that a toy manufacturer is still putting lead in children's toys? I'm shocked by that, because we know maybe some of the kids in the studio – well, hopefully nobody knows about lead poisoning, because it's supposed to be over with in our country, which is that used to be like when I maybe back in the day when I was a little girl, they just didn't care at all if there was lead all over everything. And then we'd stick it in our mouths, and then you'd get something called lead poisoning. And lead poisoning can actually cause brain injury and, among other problems, that are serious health problems for the rest of your life. I mean, once you've got lead in your system, it never goes away. And when they say get the lead out, they don't, you know, that's like Led Zeppelin. That's like not the lead in toys. So why is the lead not getting out of our toys?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, lead is a really powerful neurotoxin. It's not safe in toys. And you would expect that every toy that you would see on a shelf that you might buy for your child or for a child in your life, that it would be safe and that it would be free from lead. But the fact is that because the CPSC doesn't have the resources it's need, it doesn't actually test every single toy that's on the shelves for lead. It's left up to the manufacturers. Some stores have toxic policies where they make sure all of their toys are safe, but then some of them don't. So frequently toys slip through the cracks, like ones that we found this year that have excessive amounts of lead, over 90 parts per million, which is the allowable limit.
So what... can you name some that have unacceptable parts of lead? What are you talking about? What kind of toys? Like
I couldn't name them now. So the biggest thing that lead shows up in still are paintings and coatings. And so the toys we found are shiny toys that have shiny paints and coatings, and I can't refer to them specifically, but these are the types of toys
used. I know that there's been an issue with cadmium.
Yep.
Like, what is cadmium?
Cadmium is another heavy metal that has been deemed dangerous for children, and so there's once again an allowable limit that's allowed in toys, and we have a couple toys on our list that exceed the limit.
And
for
I know that
there.
I read recently that some of those necklaces that you know you might find in the girls section. You know, this really makes me angry that we would be going to a big toy store and having things that are actually so dangerous and so deadly. And I'm just shocked by that. I'm shocked that any toy manufacturer would be so cruel, frankly, honestly. That's the part that's just heartbreaking. Yes, Julia.
So I'm 9, and I was wondering if, like, what toys would be safe or unsafe for a 9-year-old?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So the first thing to look at are choking hazards. And since you're nine, there's a lot of toys that are really safe for you. So eight and up would be the category that you would automatically slide into. And that's what your parents should look for, toys that are safe for eight and up. But toxic toys are one thing that obviously affect every child and every adult, frankly, the exact same way. And so looking out for toys that come from stores that have publicly available corporate policies for toxics. That's a really important thing to make sure those toys are safe. Then the other thing we always tell parents are think about all the children in your household. So if you have a little brother or a little sister who's younger, then maybe you need to watch out for the hazards that might be in those toys as well.
Mm. Daniel, yeah.
What are the safe toys for teenagers?
For teenagers, well, you're all grown up. There are a lot of safe toys for teenagers, obviously. Once again, that 8 and up category, so you don't have to worry quite as much about choking hazards. Toxics are still very dangerous, and some powerful magnets can still be very dangerous. But, you know, looking at the labels that are now on most toys because of really hard work that's been done by PERG and by the CPSC, there are a lot of safe toys out there for you.
But let's talk about magnets for a second, Jacob,
yeah,
okay? Because those little tiny awesome magnets that people are loving to give away, they're really super small and really, really strong. And wait, hold on. Say that again.
Buckyballs.
Well, sure. Buckyballs are among them. And then also those really tiny ones that are sometimes in those little stuffed animals where their hands get, you know, their little stuffed animal hands that can come together and cling to your shirt. Tell us about those magnets, Jacob. Why are those dangerous?
Yeah, absolutely. So we actually, one of the biggest things we like to commend the CPSC for is in September, they announced that they're going to ban some of those small, powerful magnets like buckyballs, as Julia said, and Zeng magnets. And that'll come into effect in 2015. Magnets are really dangerous because a lot of the magnets you find in toys would be shocked how powerful they are. And those magnets, there are a number of incidences of kids ingesting multiple magnets. Those magnets are attracted to each other inside a child's digestive system, and then it can cause some serious problems. There's been a couple thousand incidents of that over the last 4 years.
That's just horrible. So, a child will, like a tiny little kid will swallow a magnet, and then maybe you would never know as a parent that that even happened.
Yeah.
And then here's what I've heard, and then maybe they swallow a second one, and here those two magnets are in different places in that baby's intestines, and they are irresistibly drawn to each other because there's still magnets inside this baby's intestines. And you can imagine what that does. It forces them together, even though maybe one's in the colon and one's in the stomach. And oh my gosh, you can do gigantic, major intestinal damage from
absolutely.
These little magnets.
Absolutely.
And interesting that they're going to be banned. Was that an effort of PERG?
It was, and the CPSC really stood up to ban buckyballs and Zeng magnets. That goes into effect in 2015, and despite their attempts to start that right now, they're still widely available, especially online. And they're often known as adult desk toys, but if they are in the house of a child, they're still obviously very dangerous. And so that's one thing we say, you know, is there's no reason to have things like buckyballs and Zeng magnets around children because they're extremely dangerous.
In the studio with us is Jacob Peters from New Mexico Public Interest Research Group. There are four categories that the Public Interest Research Group looks at in terms of safety for children. It's choking, toxics. Can you believe there's lead in your toys on the shelves of stores, and cadmium and other horrible, horrible toxic things that they're encouraging you to buy for children? Magnets, which we just discussed, number three. And the fourth one is noise. So, Jacob, talk to us a little bit about choking. I know it's been a while since I've had little tiny kids in the house, but now that I'm a grandmother, that's going to happen again very soon. And I want to hear about what are the limits for choking.
Yeah, absolutely. So the test that the CPSC uses is a 1 1/4 inch diameter choking test tube. So if a toy fits inside of that or a part of a toy fits inside of that, then it's too small for an infant and it's a choking hazard. Sorry?
Marble?
Marbles almost certainly. Yeah, all of those are too small. Bouncy balls, stuff like that are too small. But the one thing we found is that children... you have a question?
What about, like, Legos? Because I know Legos definitely vary in sizes, and I love to play with Legos, but...
Yeah,
like,
what's the deal?
Yeah, totally.
There are some pretty small Legos. So.
There are some pretty small Legos, and I'm not totally sure, but I would imagine that Legos are labeled for at least children 3 and up, if not higher. So they could be a choking hazard for a young child, and they're definitely labeled as such because they do a great job with that.
So in other words, PERG's interest is that the product be labeled to say, don't buy this for your kid under three who could possibly choke.
Absolutely.
But what's a common popular toy for babies that would actually be a choking hazard?
Well, there's a number of them we found this year where the parts of the toys or the toys are a little bit too small, and so they fit into that choking tube. The one thing we found, though, is that children often choke on toys that are actually larger than that test tube, and so that's been a huge problem. And so one of our big pushes is to update that size and increase the diameter.
What would you? I mean, in terms of like parents who are listening to the Children's Hour, they care about the safety of their children.
Yeah.
So we don't follow the rules necessarily here. So we're happy with new rules. What would be the minimum size?
Yeah. So the thing that we tell parents, the best way to be safe is to use a cylinder that I hope everyone has at home, which is a toilet paper tube. So that toilet paper tube is about 1¾ inches in diameter typically. And so if a toy fits all the way through that, then it's definitely too small for a child under three. And you can know that you shouldn't have that toy around your child.
The last thing that you didn't cover on this list was the noise thing.
Yeah.
Like, so what do you mean toys that are too noisy? What are you talking about?
Yeah. So, I mean, there are toys that are obviously extremely loud and obnoxious, and loud toys can be fun, but they can also be dangerous. 1 in 7 kids between the ages of 6 and 17 has hearing damage. And, one of the things that contributes to that is noisy toys. And one of the biggest things is that loud toys are tested, for their dangerous noise at a length that's significantly longer than a child's arm, when some of the toys are actually like cell phones that are encouraged to be held up to a child's ear. And so these toys are very loud and they might be safe from 4 feet away, but they're certainly not safe from right up next to a child's ear. And we agree with lots of hearing groups that we work with that we need to update these rules.
Yes, Daniel.
I have a CD player at home, mm-hmm. and sometimes I play like too loud because I can't hear, but there's this kid in kindergarten. He played a radio, and it was too loud on his ears, and he didn't have hear damage. What about that one?
Well, sometimes it's hard to tell if someone has hearing damage, especially when they're young. Music players can go really loud, and there are things that aren't typically labeled. We focus on the toys part of it, but you certainly shouldn't be blaring music in your ears, and kids shouldn't be doing that.
And no more blaring the Pink Floyd in the car with the kids, I guess. Okay. We've learned something new today. Yeah, Julia.
So, like, I like to listen on my iPod and put headphones in my ears to listen to music. Is that okay?
That's not something that we totally focus on because it's a music player. The one thing I would say personally, not from our organization point of view, is that on every iPod, there's actually a volume max control. So parents can go into the settings and set a max volume because the total max volume of an iPod is really loud even for an adult. And so I would say just don't turn it all the way up.
Yeah, Daniel.
How come you guys focus on toys but not CD players and electronics?
Yeah, what's the deal with that? My only toys.
Well, because CD players, electronics, and things like that are things that are marketed to teenagers and adults, and they're not considered toys. And so it's the responsibility of a parent to decide whether or not that toy is appropriate if their child's old enough, because it's not actually labeled as a toy. There are certain music players that are labeled as toys, and
yeah.
They'll have those age labels on them, and parents should follow those guidelines for those.
Well, we couldn't get Jacob to tell us the names of the toys yet that are banned for this year, but can you just name a couple from last year really quick?
I'm trying to think of any from last year. There was some jewelry last year that we found.
I remember that. Jewelry actually had like radioactive ingredients in it, as I recall. I mean, there was like the most horrific kind of thing you could imagine giving a teenage kid. I think a good rule of thumb is like if you want to buy your teenage daughter jewelry, buy real jewelry. Don't buy that cheap jewelry because that cheap jewelry is probably could very likely have lead, cadmium. What else?
Yeah, or once again, the thing we say is to always buy from stores that have publicly available corporate policies on toxics in their products. And so these are stores that are taking an active role in protecting the safety.
Are there any in Albuquerque?
Well, I mean, a lot of the large chain stores have that kind of policy. I can't think of anyone that's specific to Albuquerque, but you should ask them. Usually, if they have that kind of policy, it's available on their website. So that way you know that that store is testing every product themselves and not leaving up to the manufacturer before they put it on the shelf to sell to children.
Jacob Peters is with New Mexico Public Interest Research Group. To learn more about Trouble in Toyland and the report, it's going to be released for 2014 on Tuesday, and you can find it at their website, nmpirg.org. Thank you, Jacob, so so much for being with us on the Children's Hour this morning.
Thanks so much, Katie.